how we do teach, by word and example. If what we live does not back up what we say, we might as well shut up. If what we are doing does not bring someone to Christ, then we're driving folks away from Christ. We don't want to do that. I want to also share with you tonight, if I may, that Timothy's can be Nancy's. You got that, didn't you? So, one of you elderly ladies, one of you that's been at it a while, need to take her on and raise her. Amen. She's a brand new creature in Christ today. Amen. I know she's a grandma. I understand all that, okay? But she ain't a grandma spiritually. Amen. And so, ladies, somebody, all right, somebody, I mean, you need to make her your project. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Next year when I come, Jesus don't come. I expect to see a whole crowd of them sitting over there that come out of that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got your Bible open yet? Let's stand together, please. Let me read you a couple of verses as we continue this morning. This morning we saw that the Apostle Paul was showing Timothy that he shouldn't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the Lord and of the Apostle Paul. We saw that, if we will, in verse 8. Look at your Bible now as I read it to you. I'll give it to you just plain and simple tonight. Ready? Verse 1 says, Paul. Verse 2 says, to Timothy. Verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Now, he is not in pride saying that. He is in confidence. Just like when he said, be you followers of me as I am of Christ. That's what Paul's talking about. He's not bragging. He's not arrogant. You know how God thinks about pride and arrogance. He's just saying to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. And this is how you hold on to it, son. In faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Our stability... Let me say this right, Lord. Our stability is not necessarily in each other. You and I know some very strong Christian people. But we can't put our stability in them. And that's what Paul's saying to Timothy here. You gotta hold on to what you got, and you gotta do it in the faith and love which is in Christ. Now, Paul was a great example. But beyond the great example was the greater example. And that's what he's trying to tell this young man that he's led to Christ Jesus. Let's pray about it. Father, I love you and thank you and praise you for this Sunday evening, Lord, in the house of God. What a great way to start the week, church. And Lord, you've answered prayer, a long time prayer, this morning, bringing Miss Nancy into the family. Amen. Now, Lord, I don't know which one of these ladies, maybe two of these ladies, that'd be good. Would just take her on as a project and raise her as a lady of God for Jesus Christ and for your glory. I pray that tonight here in this place, somebody, my Father, will get something out of what is said that will stir them to faithfulness and stir them to holiness and stir them, my Father, to the victory lane of this Christian life, our Father. Lord in heaven, there are days that we just kind of wonder, but my Lord and my God, we got to look at the end result of this thing. We got to consider the end of this. And we look, Father, towards a place where there'll be no more pain and no more misery and no more darkness and thank God, no more sin and no more away from Jesus and no more garbage. Just a land of bliss and holiness and God. And we get to come there because of what you did at Calvary for us. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to preach tonight. Preach through me the unsearchable riches of this book. Show me and show them, my Father, what you want to say about that word, hold fast. And we'll thank you for it in the name of Jesus tonight. Amen, my Father, amen. You may be seated, family. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul, in trying to raise this young man to be able to go through it, and remember now what we've seen this morning up there in verse 8. Look at the last phrase of verse 8, where he says, "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." He's endeavoring to build him a man of God that will be able to go through the hard times that's in Christianity. It's not always, listen to me, love, it's not always Sunday. Sundays are pretty good days. Are they not? I mean, we get dressed, we get to the house of God, hallelujah, and, you know, we get to listen to the great preaching and the good singing and all that good stuff. We get to see each other. Praise the Lord for that. We get to see each other. You know, we don't do that all week long, do we? We don't go to each other's house on Tuesday afternoon and have fellowship. Now, me and Brother Rick's going to have some time this week together. Amen. Miss Gail. But we don't normally do that. But Sunday and Wednesday, we get to see each other. Praise the Lord for it. But every day is not Sunday. There are days when by Thursday afternoon, you're ready for something. You're ready, even after a good Wednesday night service a lot of times. You know, by Thursday afternoon, boy, we need a boost or we need something. You know what I'm saying about? We need a jug of propane or something. You know what I'm talking about? Something to keep us going and get us to the Lord's Day again. Hallelujah. And that's what Paul's trying to get Timothy to understand. There's going to be days, boy, where the afflictions are going to come. If you're going to live for God, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to get understand something. You need to gather things in and put things in your sack, if you will, in your bag, if you will, that like the Hebrews says, that accompany salvation. Salvation's not all, okay? That's just the beginning of it, all right? We get into life with the Lord God Almighty, and I'll be honest with you, I thank God He don't tell me everything that's coming. Preacher, are you afraid of it? No, I ain't afraid of it. Listen, I've been through it, okay? 40-plus years I've been in the ministry. Now, I've been through a few things, all right? I've been through wars and rumors of wars and rejections and hatreds and attacks. And everything coming and going. We've been through it. And then that old cancer the other day, you know, had that and got through that. You said, what are you saying? I'm saying you need to have some things. Now listen to me close, that when them hard times come, you hold on to what you already have. So many times it's like when something difficult arises in our life, a lot of times we go back to room 101 and start over again in faith and joy and happiness and all. Listen, God didn't want Timothy to start over again when a hard time arose. He wanted him to proceed on from the hard time. Too many of us, my dear family, too many of us, so when something just gets our goat, if you will, we end up starting at scratch one again. We end up starting back at faithfulness to church again. Come on. We end up starting back at reading our Bible again. Well, I mean, I've been messed up for a while. I guess I'll start at Genesis 1:1. Well, what about all that you already learned in Christ Jesus? What about all that you've already accumulated in the Word of God, in the will of God, in the ways of God? What about all that? You're gonna just scrap that and lay it off to the side and start over again afresh and anew? Do you think the next trip through is gonna be easier? Really? Come on now. I appreciate your optimism, but you better wake up. Timothy, yeah, Paul, what do you want? I want you to hold fast that form of sound words. I want you to hold fast that. I want you to grab a hold of them sound words that you've heard of me. And I want you to use two ways to grab a hold of that and hold on to that. I want you to use the faith that is in Christ Jesus and the love that's in Christ Jesus to do that. Let me give you two in a nutshell. Timothy, yeah, Paul, what do you want? I want you to hold fast on who you believe, not just what you believe. Amen. Listen, some educated moron could come by and change what you believe.
That's right.
If you're not careful, I mean, the winds are blowing, dear one. I want you to know the winds are blowing. But if you know who you believe, if you understand who you're walking after, if your faith is in Christ and your love is in Christ, and use that faith and love to stand fast and hold on to what you've got, what God has already given you, you won't waver when the wind's blowing.
Amen.
Now, the winds of time are not blowing towards heaven. If you take a look at America real close, you'll find out, my gang, that we are targeted for destruction. I'm talking about us that believe God. Now, the compromisers and the Wimps and the Sissies and the Rick Warrens and the Olsteins and all that bunch,
amen,
they're not got a target on them because they're part of it.
That's right.
But we that are against wrong are targeted in America.
Yeah.
And when the hard times come, do you have the ability to hold on to what you've already learned about God? Do you believe what you've learned about Jesus? Can you hold on to it? Does Jesus change per circumstance? Does circumstance change per circumstance? Does enemies change per circumstance? So I know the enemy changes, and out of the circumstances, listen, this is the Lord's Day. Tomorrow's not the Lord's Day. In a sense, it's not Sunday. But it is the day the Lord hath made, then let us rejoice and be glad in it. So when adversity comes tomorrow, if it does, am I going to look towards the enemy and figure it out, or am I going to look to the circumstance and figure it out, or am I going to look toward God in my faith and love and hold on to what I already know? Timothy, yeah? Hold fast. In Job, God said this in the 27th chapter. Job was looking at boys. He said, I will hold fast my righteousness. Look at it, if you please. Job 27. Look at this great text that old Job said over here. Job 27:6, he said, my righteousness I hold fast. I will not let it go. He was determined. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. He counted that righteousness. He counted that conformity in heart and life to the divine law of God. He counted that righteousness a prized possession. We, my dear family, were like yo-yos and roller coasters. All right, we're up and down in our righteousness. Boy, like a preacher said this morning, one day we're holy, next day we ain't. One day we're happy, next day we hate. I mean, we're a mess. Why is that? Because we will not hold fast to that which we already have. We want to start every day fresh and anew. So, all right, God, give me a new batch of faith and a new batch of this and a new batch of that. God says, what did you do with what I gave you yesterday?
Amen.
Well, I laid it aside so I can give me some new stuff. God says, I don't want to give you new stuff. I want to add new stuff to your old stuff. Stay with me now. Hold fast. Come on, you that are memorizing the Bible, you don't scrap what you memorized and start over again. Huh? Come on now. You just add to what you got. Add to what you got. We're supposed to be adding to our faith, my family, not just getting brand new every morning. You say, well, but I forget this, and I mess up over here, and I'm this. Listen, man, I understand all that, but Job was the same way as we was. You know what he said? He said, my righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. He counted it as a prized possession. He counted it as a powerful weapon. Righteousness is a powerful weapon. Here comes the devil, here comes the world, here comes everything that's anti-God, and you can stand right there with what you have in righteousness and not be bowled over by the bulldozers of the world.
Yeah.
You can stand right against that, my dear family. And listen, I told a preacher down in Mississippi, he took the church, and he said, Brother Don, he said, you've been at this thing longer than I've been alive. He said, give me some advice. I said, okie doke, here it comes. And it was a habit, Brother, we had about 10, 15, 20 church people in the room there. I said, this is what you got to do. See, I've been in that church 30 years, all right? So I know that bunch. And anyways, I told them, I said, this is what you do. I said, you put your right heel against the wall. And he's looking at me like, what? I said, put your right heel against the wall and lean into the wind. Because the wind's going to blow, brother. I promise you, the wind's going to blow. I've been around this church a long time. I know these people like the back of my hand. It'll be sweet and cuddly for a little bit, and it won't be a long little bit. It'll be a little bit. And the first time you rub the fur the wrong way, it's going to come a blowing, and you better be braced for it. And the rest of the church are just looking at me like, what you telling? But if they may listen to me, we're living in an adverse world. We're living in a world that hates our God. We're living in a world, my dear family, where we need to understand that our righteousness is a powerful weapon when it comes to fighting and resisting the devil. That's all we do with him. And we get rid of the sin in our life. We fight off that which is trying to take us over. Listen to me, my family. The righteousness of our life is an immune system to sin. The disease of sin, if you want to call it that, will attack us, but our righteousness is the immune system of it.
Amen.
And you can stand with God, and that's what Job was doing. Then he said this, my righteousness I hold fast. That righteousness, that prized possession, that powerful weapon, that peace of his heart. His righteousness. He said, I'm going to hold it fast. I will not let it go. See, Job remembered what it was like before he had God.
Amen.
Does anybody in here remember how you were before you had God?
Amen.
Do you remember how wonderful your mind was before you had God? Amen. Do you remember how great and wonderful, I mean just glowing life was before you had God? Remember, there was no doubts and no fears and no troubles and no problems. Everything was rosy before you met God. Remember? No way under the sun. It was hell by the acre and you know it. But when you found God, you found peace and you found hope. You found a way to get through it. Why? Because you got somebody's hand and you're holding on to the hand of the Holy God. And God said, now use that righteousness as a peace to your heart. Job said, my righteousness I hold fast. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look what God says here about it. We're talking about Timothy now. We're building a man of God in Timothy. That's what we're doing. We're building a man of God. I want you to hold fast, Timothy, the form of sound words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the 21st verse. God Almighty says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. My dear family, our problem a lot of times is we're trying to improve on what don't need to be changed. Can you get that? Can you understand that? A lot of times in our arrogance, we've got this idea that we can make this better. And God says, all I want you to do is hold on to that which is good.
Amen.
That's all I want you to do.
Amen.
I don't want you to endeavor to use your intellect to make it better. Come on, love. You and I all know that as soon as we touch it, it's like the U.S. government. As soon as they touch it, it's defiled, it's messed up, it's ruined. Well, that's what we do with things that God Almighty has already fixed for us and God Almighty has already done for us. That's why there's so many different versions of the real Bible. Man, in his stupid,
Amen.
Decides he wants to make something better out of what's already perfect. And you can't improve on that book.
Right.
They do that with church services. That's why this hot rod movement's going on and big time churches going on. And they're trying to improve, they say, on the worship of God Almighty. By adding all their rock music and their fire and all their smoke and all. Listen, one of the biggest plagues in American church today, listen to me closely now, you ready? You ready? You listening? Is the casualty of the people. It's just casual. It's just tennis shoes and polo shirts and Bermuda shorts. Come on, casual. Where's the respect? Where's the honor for the ways of God? Where's the honor for the house of God?
Amen.
You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, God Almighty said, listen, what I want you to do is prove all things. And there's only way to do that, and that's by the Scripture. Then what I want you to do is I want you to hold fast that which is good. You know what God called good, you and I are allowed to call bad. And there's an Isaiah text that said that woe unto the man that call evil good and good evil. And we're living in a world that does that. It topsy-turvies everything and grits it all and mixes it all, turns it all around and calls it good when it ain't good. God Almighty said it wasn't good. And if God said it ain't good, it ain't good. But when God says it is good, then don't mess with it.
Amen.
Just hold on to it.
Right.
Just enjoy. Listen, we are so, what's the word I want, Lord? We're so prone to want to change everything.
Right. Yeah.
Why can't we just be content with such things as they are when they're good?
Amen.
Now, if they're not good, then yeah, let's make them better.
Yeah.
But when they're good, leave it be. Hold on to that. And let God use that in our lives and your lives. Why? Because when God finally fills our cup to overflowing, someone else will get some. The filling of our lives, love, is simply for us. But the overflowing of our lives is for those around us. Are you overflowing tonight? You got enough good in you that it overflows in you? Or are you using every ounce of good to keep yourself squared away? Hold fast that which is good, God's Bible says. Here in our very 13th verse of Timothy, he said, hold fast the form of sound words. The form of it. What is the form of sound words, Lord? What is it, Lord, that you're trying to tell me here? Paul, what do you mean, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me? Is this book God-breathed? Stay with me now. Do you think commentaries are God-breathed?
No.
Boy, you'd be surprised how many folks will read the Bible and say, I don't know what that he's talking about. And they'll go to a commentary. Now, it depends on who. But you got to be extra careful about commentaries. Because that's what man thinks this book says. I think we're supposed to compare Scripture to Scripture. I think we're supposed to start in Genesis and go to Revelation and let the Holy One who wrote the Bible interpret it. Now, I'm not saying there ain't some good commentaries. I'm not saying there ain't. But I'm just trying to get you to understand something right now. There's a lot of people that I mean, listen to me. What they said, what Barnes says, or what so-and-so says, or what this guy says. Or listen, can I say this to you without harming you too bad? I don't want to hurt you because I love you. But I just want you to know something right now. I know, but you get lynched talking like this sometimes. There is no single man on this earth can take 66 books and explain every verse and chapter of it and give you a book, give you a commentary of 4,000 books and tell you exactly what each verse meant.
Amen.
Now, there are guys, you know, they got commentaries from Genesis to the Rev. And this is what it means in Jeremiah 10, and this is what it means over here in 1 Peter 3, and right on down the line. Gang, listen to me. Number one, no man has ever lived long enough to be able to do that. Okay? I mean, that dude had to be really old to go from Genesis 1:1 to the Revelation, amen, and be able to give a comment on every single verse of that book. 1,189 chapters? Come on, really? Just 27 books of the New Testament? You mean to tell me he can do that? I do not believe the Holy Ghost of God will inspire that man to do that. Don't get mad at me now. Let's just use common logic. Hey, Timothy, yeah, Paul, what do you want? I want you to hold fast the form of sound words that you've heard of me. We know that 40 men wrote this book. There were pencils. That's all there was. 40 pencils. Quills. But there's only one author. Only one. I'm not again looking in a commentary if you want to find some kind of direction. But my love, what they say may not be. But what he says is. He's telling Timothy there is a true form of sound words. And I want you to hold fast to it. I want you to hang tight on it. I want you to stay with the Word. I want you to not be wandering around in the words, of men. And listen to me, in his day, listen to me. One of the greatest teachers that ever walked in that time period taught Paul the Old Testament Scripture. Some dude named Gamaliel taught Paul the Scriptures of the Old Testament.
That's right.
Come on. Right or wrong, come on.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But Gamaliel was a man. Paul was a man, and he knew that, and he didn't try to snow Timothy right there. He tried to direct Timothy to the exact source of all truth, the sound words of God Almighty that you've heard of me. He said, preacher, there it is, Paul taught myself. No. That you heard of me was what he heard. You look at that epistle there, you look at that Bible. He says, I didn't learn this, but I learned this from Jesus Christ. He says that in one of them books. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Paul was only speaking what God told him to speak.
That's right.
The sound words of the Apostle Paul, he was trying to get over Timothy. Timothy, I want you to know something, boy. Everything I have told you has come from Jesus. And you can count on it. Now you hold on to that. Don't let it go. Trying to hold Timothy to a place where he can hold fast and not digress in his Christian life. Oh, my dear family, we're like an airplane flying. We hit. Did you ever all fly? Y'all, some of you flew, right? Did you ever in your flight hit a hole in the sky? Huh? And that dude drops about 1,000 feet before you blink your eyes. And coffee's going everywhere and people are screaming. That's what we do in our Christianity sometimes when we don't hold fast that which we have. We'll hit a hole in our Christian walk. And we'll drop for a while. I remember one time helping a preacher and his son's a house builder, and we was framing this big giant house for this doctor woman. And Danny was walking the plate. Y'all know that is where the roof hits the wall. He was walking the plate up there, and the preacher was cutting the wood, and I was handing the 5/8 up through the rafters to Danny. He was putting the roof on. And he's walking across that plate. He said, Brother Harmon, come here. I want you to see this. And so I'm walking along like this, watching Danny like this. He said, here, I want you to have this. And he threw something, and I stepped in the second story through the stairwell that had no steps in it. No stairs. And as I went through the hole, heading towards the basement floor, I stepped my arms out to catch myself on the tubophores in the hallway and hit right there and hit right here and hit right here. And I thought I'd killed myself. I'm hanging on the first floor like this with my feet hanging down into the basement. And the preacher come down the ladder and he went to pick me up. I said, wait a minute, preacher, let me make sure everything's still hooked together. And he said, you all right? I said, no, I ain't all right. I'm not all right. This is not good. And so he took this leg of mine and he pulled it around like that. He says, does it feel broke? I said, no, it don't feel broke. Praise the Lord. And so I have both feet now dangling through the first floor to the basement. The guy working in the basement looked up. He said, you know, I couldn't figure out what's a set of legs doing hanging out of that. And I just grabbed a hold and dropped down to the floor and went back up to the ladder and went back to work. Well, at dinner time, we did a terrible thing. We sit down to eat. You're right, brother. The more I sat there, the worse it got. And the more I sat there, the worse this arm got. And then it wouldn't move at all. And then all of a sudden, this arm didn't want to move at all. And this leg didn't want to go anywhere. And the preacher looked at me and said, you all right? I said, no. He said, you want to go home? I said, no, we've got to finish this today. So I just gritting my teeth and shoving that 5/8 back up through the rafters to Danny so he'd get that roof on. But the next day, mm-hmm. He said, what are you saying? I'm just trying to get you to understand something. When you don't hold on to sound words, it's like falling through an empty stairwell. And then all of a sudden you reach out to grab something to keep yourself from slamming on the basement floor. And it will harm you and it will damage you. But if you hold fast the sound words, none of us in this room has learned it all yet. We're working on it, but we ain't learned it all yet. We'll not learn it all yet on earth. No way under the sun we're going to learn it all yet. But what have you learned? What have you learned about holiness? What have you learned about faithfulness? What have you learned about giving? What have you learned about loving one another? We're all different personalities. Sometimes we're unlovable. Sometimes we are. What have you learned about that? Are you going to fall through the stairwell of life and fall through the hole in the sky and drop altitude? You're supposed to be 38,000. Now you're 37. Are you going to just hold on to what you got and build from there? Just continue to grow from there and continue to go on from there. My love, listen, don't be doing this. Don't be doing this. Because somebody's trying to follow you. Somebody's trying to use you as an example of what a believer ought to be. Wasn't that the Apostle Paul that told the very Timothy, be thou an example of a believer? Well, how in the name of sense, my dear friend, am I going to do that if I'm an up and a down and an in and an out and a maybe and a could be and a should be and a would be and if a could be or a won't be? How can I do that? How can I help you if the day you come to me for help, I'm at a low ebb? How can I help you if you come to me for help and I have discarded or forgotten or just thrown away everything I've already learned? We can't both start over again at the beginning. We got to stay right where we're at least. You got to just build from who you are now. You got to go on from where you are now. You got to keep learning from where you are now. Listen, my love, we cannot function going back again, going back to where we started at. We've got to keep on right here and go forwards for God Almighty. You can't back into heaven, hon. You got to march into heaven praising the Lord. But it's going to be mighty hard if you got to get way back here and catch up at the rapture of the church. You need to leave from where God Almighty has you at the time of our departure. If there's a space between where you are and where you're supposed to be spiritually, it's because you have quit holding on to that which you have. You've laid it down somewhere. Where did I put my keys? Where's my keys? Where did I put my glasses? Where did I put... Listen. You do that with this. Where did I put my love for God and my faith in Jesus? Lord, increase our faith. Didn't say, Lord, give us some. Stay with me now. How many times have you and I got ourselves in a ringer somewhere and we said, Lord, give me some faith. God says, for crying out loud, ain't you saved? You mean the faith that you got right there when you trusted me as your Lord and Savior, you mean you can't build on that? Remember, you know, a few months after you were saved, how I blessed you and your faith increased. Remember a few years after I saved you, how I blessed you and took care of this and took care of that and your faith grew. And you mean you're going back to square one, really? You know what he'll say? No. I ain't giving you faith. Why don't you use what you got? Why don't you take the faith you don't already have? But Brother Don, you can't. No, I'm not mean at all. I'm trying to get you to understand, Timothy. I want you to hold fast. I want you to hold on. Don't let go. Don't let go of them sound words. Don't let go of your righteousness. Don't let go to that which is good. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Look at Hebrews 3, verse 6. God's Bible says these words to you and I. But Christ is a son over His own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. My dear family, listen to me. So many of God's people today are struggling. Because they don't hold fast no confidence. They've lost their confidence in God. Well, I prayed and He didn't answer me. And I was faithful and I worked and I labored and He wouldn't help me. God says, I did too help you. I didn't change. I am God. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, son. I didn't change. Well, then why didn't you do what I told you? Because your faith was not in my will. Your faith was in something you wanted me to do. And because what you wanted me to do was not good for you. And I didn't do it, and I won't do it, and I ain't going to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
You put your faith in my will. My will is perfect. I never make a mistake. I've never shunned you. I've never hurt you. I've never abused you.
Amen.
Put your faith in my will. Yeah, but God, I don't like your will because it ain't a yes. I want that car, Lord! Really? Well, go get it. You don't need me to go get it. Go to the bank. Get it. Then 6 months later, the insurance bill comes. Oh, Jesus! Go to the bank. Go to the gods whom you've chosen. Lord, I can't afford this car. No kidding. Lord, I didn't know I was going to get laid off in a year. Really?
Amen.
No, God ain't one to look you in the eye and say, I told you so. I told you so. I told you, you dummy. No, He'll just stand there in His love. He'll put out His hands. He said, you're still my kid. Learn your lesson. Learn your lesson. Hold fast. Learn your lesson. Don't give up. Work your way through it. Look at me. How many of y'all have stuck yourself with a bill that you knew you shouldn't have never done? And God said, I'll just let you pay for it right on out the line. Just keep on paying, son. By and by, you will get a clear title. Have your time at it. Now, He was going to give you one over here, but you didn't know. No. Timothy, yeah, Paul, I want you to hold fast. I want you to hang on with confidence in me. You put your confidence in this situation, you're going to mess up sometimes. Don't put your confidence in the situation, boy. Don't put your confidence in your own ability to take care of the matter, whatever it is. God Almighty said one time, boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Didn't He say something like that? Somewhere I read it. Anyways, you have no clue how you're going to get up in the morning. Now today we got this plan and we got this thing, we got this way, I think this will work and I think this will be alright. And then we say, Lord, I want you to join in my plan, okie doke. Come on, that's how we act. We want to hold on to God as long as He's in our plan. But what if God says that ain't my plan? Well, yeah, but Lord, I have thought this through and I've prayed about it. And God said, yeah, well, did you discern the spirits? Did you try the spirits to see whether they're mine or not? Or did you just go right ahead and just decide, well, you know, everything looks good. Let's do it. Bought a house, but you never bothered to check the thing, and 3 years later it's all eat up. I mean, really, God didn't really send you there, did He?
Amen.
Where's your confidence? Come on, I know, we're in church. Where's your confidence, really, honestly? Don't get mad at me. Is your confidence in the great man of God that you've got pastor this church, that He will keep this place going? Well, as long as Brother Fenton's here, everything will be fine. This is not Brother Fenton's church.
Amen.
Don't throw your boots at me. This is God's church.
Amen.
If God don't keep it going, that's God's business, all right? If God fills it completely past capacity, that's God's business. Our job, my love, is to be faithful to our God and have confidence, holding fast the confidence in Jesus Christ that what His will is what I got to learn. Now, let me ask you something before I move to the last point and be done. What is the will of God for tomorrow morning for you men? What's the will of God for you ladies tomorrow morning with children in the house? What's the will of God for you school children tomorrow when the yellow indoctrination bus goes by or you come to this great school here? What's the will of God? He said, preacher, wait a minute. The will of God. Boy, I wish I knew what the will of God is. The will of God is for you to live a Christian life confident that your Christ can take care of whatever it is that comes your way because He's guiding you and directing you through your daily activities.
Amen.
That's the will of God. Maybe it's to go to Africa. Well, if it is, He will show you that. He'll train you to get there and He'll help you. He'll build you to do that. But gang, listen, tomorrow morning you ain't going to Africa. You're going to get up and go to work. You're going to get up and wash clothes. You're going to get up and tend to babies. You're going to get up and cook breakfast. You're going to get up and clean. Whatever you're going to do tomorrow, you do it with Christ. You do it walking with God. And Lord, me and you go clean the house today. How about that? And you talk to Him all day long while you're sweeping floors, changing diapers, whatever it is.
Amen.
You go to work, work the machine, drive your trucks, whatever you do, talking to God all day long.
Amen.
Me and Brother Rich go clean brush up tomorrow. How about that? Talking to Jesus while we're calling brush around. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying God says don't put your confidence in all this junk. Put your confidence in Me. Walk with Me. Stay with Me. Live with Me. Help with Me. Be with Me, God says. And when you and I hold fast to that confidence in God, I'm telling you there's no way of defeat.
Amen.
Because nothing can defeat my elder brother.
Amen.
Lastly, Timothy, in Revelation 3:11, this is what God's Bible says. Yes, Paul, what do you want? I want you to hold fast the sound words which you've heard of Me. But Timothy, in Revelation 3:11, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, was speaking to the churches. In the third chapter, the 11th verse, He said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hold that thou hast. Listen to how John said it. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I want to ask you, loved ones, something. Do you have any rewards waiting on you at the judgment seat of Christ? Do you? Have you done just a cup of water since you've been saved? Just a cup of water. Now that seems like a pretty simple little something to other. But God Almighty says if you'll do that, you won't lose your reward. Do you have anything accumulated? Do you have a 401k in heaven? Come on, you got a savings account built up in heaven? In love and faith in Christ Jesus, you've tried to serve God. Through the valleys, through the mountaintops, through the sunshine, through the rain, through the ice and cold of the north, through the heat of the summer, through the discouraging moments and the happy moments, through the sick moments and the well moments, You've grabbed the faith of God and your love for Christ and you've held on. Do you have anything waiting on you on yon side? Or do you got it all stacked up down here and you admire it and look at it and polish it? And ah, yes. You are some kind of dude. But the next morning that brass is tarnished. Man, happen. Or have you laid it up where the rust and the moth don't corrupt it? Then don't lose what's there. Close your Bible. Hold fast that which thou hast. My Lord, I am not going to get backslid and away and unfaithful and falter and lose what I've already labored and wrought down here and sent there. Lord, I want to hold fast what I've got up there. God says it ain't hard to do, Timothy. Here's how you hold on to it. Faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. Paul, I don't want to lose my reward when I get to heaven. I want to have a pile of it up there so that when Jesus comes and we crown Him King of Kings, I want so much to lay down at His feet that I can't even see Him for the crowns that I've earned down here for Him. I love Him and I want to serve Him here and I want to build it all up there. I want a bunch of it up there. Paul said it ain't hard to do, Timothy. Take faith and love, which is in Christ, and hold fast. Don't let it go. Just hold on. I know the winds are blowing. Don't let go. I know the waves are crashing over your head right now, but don't let it go. I know the enemy is attacking on every side, but don't let it go. I know that you want to just sometimes rest and let go and just rest your arms. The strain of holding on to it has brought trolley horses and muscle spasms and misery. But don't let go, Timothy. We're almost home. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Paul is building a soldier. Paul is building a man of God. Paul is building a Christian in a boy named Timothy. Don't be ashamed of God or of me. And hold fast, son, with the faith and love that's in Christ Jesus. Don't let go. Nobody's looking but me and Jesus. Preacher, I'm about to let go. I'm weary and well done. I'm tired. I'm spiritually tired. Preacher, I'm about to let go. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You just held your hands up. Look at me. Look at me. Don't let go. You hear me, daughter? Don't let you. You hear me, sister? Hold fast. It ain't long now. I know it seems forever, but it ain't long now. We're almost done with our earthen wall. Oh, please. You that just held up your hands, please. Don't let go now. Don't know. Hold fast. Hold on. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't quit now. I know it's tough. I know your arms are charley horse and you're aching just to rest. Just let me rest, God. God says, I got rest for you. I do. I got rest for you. But it's not yet. Don't give up. Don't give up. Sema.
As we travel through the desert,
come on, ready to give up.
Be saved.
Come on, ready to let go.
By the
come and ask God to give you some more help and more strength. Timothy, don't let go, son. Hold on a little longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold fast to the form of sound words which you've heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Take your faith and love in Christ and hold on just a little longer. Don't give up now, son. Son, you're going to go through some afflictions in the gospel. This is how you're going to make it through, boy. Don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed of me. And don't let go. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. That's it. Come on, man. Come on. Keep coming. Come on. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Come on. Hold on. Don't quit now. I know it's tough, but don't quit now. Don't quit now. Stay with it. Stay there. Stay where you're at. Preach, I ain't gaining much. Don't worry about gaining right now. Just hold your position.
And your vigor.
Hold this hill at all costs.
Decay.
Don't give it to the enemy again.
Father, on, still go, Father. Count the milestones.
Preach, I'm weary.
One by
we
one.
All are.
Jesus
we all are weary.
Will forsake.
That's just how it's going to be in the last hours.
It
just before the enemy throws up the white flag and surrenders, everybody on the battlefield's tired. Hang tight.
Oh, my brother,
hold fast. Hang on, child of God.
Weary?
Our captain's on his way. Our Savior's coming to get us. Any second now. You want to go home praising him?
Your strength
not sheeping in with your hands on the floor.
You
want to come home praising him. God, by your strength, I'll hold on. By your power, I'll stay in the fight. By your permission, I'll stay on the front lines. Lord, my flesh is weak. I don't know how much longer I can go, God. But Jesus says, I'm going all the way. You're going with me.
Forsake you never.
You're going with me, God says.
It is better farther on. Farther on. Still go farther. Count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never. It is better farther on.
Thank you, baby. Look up at me. Look up at me. Are you closer to home or closer to where you started?
Amen. We recently were in Ephesians chapter 6, and if you